31.
We left off with a question last week that we were talking about, and that was that first one at the bottom of page 5, number 4, in the first dot there, talking about the sensitive setting of marriage. We talked about some of the sensitivities in marriage. We're going to continue that discussion today. And by God's grace, hopefully get some answers on all that. All right. Otherwise, how's everybody's day going? Everybody had a good day so far? Amen. Michelle still has not downloaded yet. So we're looking forward to baby popping out one day soon. Amen. And so, amen. You're going to come to that. It's a boy or a girl? Do you guys know yet?
Boy.
It's a boy. Boy. Are you going to reach that time when the boys start asking where the babies come from and the girls? Amen. My children are at that point now because, you know, you guys are pregnant. Charmaine's pregnant. Well, where's the baby come from? You know, I said, well, you know, here. How? I'm thinking, okay, is it that time already? Okay.
Yeah.
Where? Yes. You know, I'm thinking, okay, we need some private time, son. You know, talk about these things, some father and son time, discuss right. These issues. So it is that time. Amen. So we appreciate that. Amen. Now, your actual due date, Michelle, was the 21st? 24th. 20th.
Thursday,
okay.
Last Thursday.
So did they give you a date where they will induce if baby doesn't come?
They're wanting to after the first week.
We'll after see. The first week? Okay.
We're kind of struggling with that decision.
Let baby come when baby's gonna come. Yeah. I know my wife.
So we wanna not induce.
Yeah, was he overdue?
He was right on time.
Right on time. Yeah, Carmen's water broke on Memorial Day, that Monday. I mean, boom, broke, and went in straight away. So, amen. Carmen's like, let's get this out and get this over. Amen. All right, long-awaited precious jewel that we had in there.
That's so, his interpretation. That's your interpretation.
My interpretation. I'm like, this is painful. Amen. Joshua 24 and verse 31 is the verse that we're considering when we talk about marriage and its choices. And the goal is that our children would serve God from our example and our marital example. By the way, whether you know it or not, your children are going to form an opinion in regards to marriage, in regards to service to God, in regards to pretty much just everything in life based upon what they see in us. And that's how they're going to base things on. I talked to you guys last week about the divorce. I had already purposed in my mind that I wasn't going to divorce, not because I knew what God said, just because my parents never did, so I didn't see it. So, you know, my dad never punched me in the face, and so in my child rearing, it never occurred to me to punch my child, you know. And so children only picked it up. So if you're abused, that's why guys normally do that. And if you see divorce, oftentimes you may do that. Not all the time, but sometimes. And so a lot of times what children are seeing in and around us is what's going to form their values. And so the next section is going to talk about our values and our belief system. And so Joshua 24:31, let's go say that together. We'll say the verse and then read it and then say the verse. Here we go. Joshua 24:31. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. Father, bless now in this time that we have, and I pray that you would use this time to instruct us from your word. We might understand more of the sensitive setting of marriage and be more pleasing in your sight when it comes to our choices that we make. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Meet with us now in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right, we're supposed to say the reference at the end. I forgot that. So let's say that. Joshua 24:31. Apologize for that. All right, so far we're down on C, where your choice is taking you. And we're at C4 at the bottom of page 5. And we're at that first dot there. Within the sensitive setting of marriage, these small choices made in life have more power to bless or hurt a relationship than we could ever imagine. And those small choices are what we looked at up there in B and C and A. And Have you ever stopped to consider that most of the choices that we make in life are little choices that lead up to the big choice? Oftentimes, you know, Mark and Michelle are expecting their child now, but the child came with a lot of little choices. You know, am I going to even have children? Am I going to marry? Am I going to date? I mean, all those small choices began to culminate to eventually the marriage and now the child. Do we want to have children? And so a lot of little choices come up, and now baby's going to pop out one day, and baby's actually made up of a lot of little choices, really. And so when we think about this, most of life is made up of little choices that we make every day, and then the big one comes one day. Am I going to purchase a house? Am I going to purchase a car? Am I going to purchase this? Am I going to do that? But most of what I do are a series of little choices that kind of make it up. And that's what we've been looking at here, is that our little choices really all come together to equate to a big choice. And look at that first one there. Within the sensitive setting of marriage, and I ask this question: why is marriage sensitive, and how is marriage sensitive? And we came up with some questions, some answers to that last week. Let's finish that out. Why is marriage sensitive, and how is marriage sensitive? Yes, Mark?
Well, especially in a Christian marriage, if you really, one of the tough things that I think, at least for us, has been is for you to truly grow closer to be the way the Lord would want you to be as a couple, you have to be willing to be transparent and be willing to let someone know your vulnerabilities and what types of things you are sensitive to and ask that person to help you with those. And it kind of puts you both in that situation where you have to really trust being willing to tell someone something that you wouldn't tell anyone else.
Right.
And all the more reason why now you can. It's almost it can be scary, and because you know that can affect the entire walk in the day.
Amen.
With Christ.
Amen. Now, Mark mentioned the word transparent. Why is transparency so sensitive? Why is that a sensitive issue in marriage? Because you're right, it's necessary. I need to be transparent. You know, when I go to the store, I want to know what I get in my VCR. Okay, I've got an instruction manual telling me everything that it does. When I get a person, they don't come with an instruction manual. I get a husband or wife, they don't come with an instruction manual. When I get myself into a relationship, boyfriend or girlfriend or dating, they don't come with a manual other than the manual of the Word of God. So why is this transparency so sensitive? Why is it such a vulnerable thing? Carmen?
I think often because we're afraid of our feelings being stepped on. We're afraid of how the other one's going to judge. And a lot of it has to do with pride, too. Because I remember early on in our marriage, you know, before salvation, there were certain things you just didn't know about me, you know. But then when I got saved and, like, we started doing devotions, I was afraid. I was like, okay, I was excited about the devotion, but it's like, man, he's going to really know me inside and out. You know, I was like, he's going to know words I can't pronounce. Just pride just pop all up in there, you know? And you just feel vulnerable because now everything is out. And you're afraid of what the other is really going to think because you want to be seen as all that.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So a lot of the sensitivity in marriage with this vulnerability then comes with a fear of rejection. Mm-hmm. What are they going to think about me? What are they really going to think about me if I tell them? And if I tell them, are they still going to stay with me? Amen. or are they going to leave? Or you know, what are they going to think if I tell them this or that or the other? So it's sensitive because now there are things that I have that this other person does not know about me. Whether it's the way I was reared, maybe I was abused, maybe I abused someone, maybe I was a thief, or you know, whatever the case may be, you know. And so there's so many different things that have made us up throughout the walk of life that it says within the sensitive setting of marriage, you know, things can bless or hurt the relationship. Okay, and that's a good one, Mark. What else? Why is this sensitivity so vulnerable. You know, what about marriage is so sensitive? What else, other than the vulnerability, the transparency? What else is there? Really?
Sometimes, you know, in true marriage, is not getting communicate, and you know, like me, my husband is not serving the Lord, but God want me to be submit to the Lord, to be submit for my husband. Mm-hmm. So like, I needed something, you know, for his income. He doesn't make that much. It's enough for, you know, he's in charge for our bills, and when he goes to store, like, he doesn't, he forgot to make a list. Mm-hmm. And he would come home, like, I said, oh, honey, you forgot this. And he wasn't really upset, but I let him know that, you know, I needed, you know, what, like, bathroom stuff or woman stuff. And I guess sometimes he get tired of going back and forth, and he would tell me, like, okay, why don't you go with me and go to Target? I said, yeah, you know, and then they would say, like, okay, be careful what you, and I said, I would rather tell you that I need this, you know, this woman more expensive than, you know, he would try to compare with that, and I said, you said I do, before we even, when we may bow each other, that would be no problem. You take handle of, you know, finance, you know, you'll be able to take responsibility what I need when we're going to Target or Costco or whatever, you see, that would be no problem. So, and I would tell him, express about that, how I feel, and he said it's more, and then the kids add more and all the stuff, especially now she's going to college. His scholarship, it doesn't really cover the whole thing because he has to purchase books and all the stuff that Shane is working over there to cover up his gas and food and clothing, all the stuff. So there was a lot of stuff in his head, but you know, I would tell him and I said, I know, honey, that you know, it's going to be tough, but I just let you know. And you know, sometimes he get really upset, but you know, I just smile at him and I said, okay, I'm not gonna continue asking, you know, and I said, this is what I need. You see where you're gonna go right there.
Amen. So, yeah. And so, you know, you think about that, you know, he doesn't take a list to shop. She does. Is that a difference? Yeah, it is a difference. Can that cause some sensitiveness there?
Yes,
especially if you come back and you don't get what I asked you to get just because you didn't have a list, amen? That's gonna create some problems there, amen? you know, and one of the things that I think kind of contributes to this sensitivity in marriage is that men and ladies are different. Men aren't ladies and ladies aren't men. And so, you know, the way we do things is different. I mean, if God wanted us to be the same, he would have, you know, let us marry ourselves, amen? And so we didn't do that. And so ladies see things differently than men. And so that creates a sensitivity already. Why? Because now I don't do things the way my spouse does, and I expect them to, don't we, sometimes? Mm-hmm. We expect people to do it the way we do it or see it the way we see it, and their eyes are not like ours. You know, my wife and I are totally opposite with our eyes. She can't see close up. I can see close up without my glasses. I've got bifocals because I don't, and so down here is no prescription because I don't have a problem seeing up close. It's distance. Carmen can see distance is fine. She can't see up close. So we're different off the bat with our eyesight, you know, and so it is with most things. I see things through a masculine eyeset. She sees through a feminine eyeset. Now, throw in another variable. My husband is spiritual and I'm not spiritual, or vice versa. I'm not spiritual and he is spiritual. Are you going to see things differently? Yes, you are. Is that going to create a sensitivity in marriage? Yes, it is. Is that going to affect my choices? Yes, it is. Because certain things I can or cannot say or do in the marriage setting. So one of the things that is here when within a sensitive setting of marriage, these small choices made in life have more power to bless or hurt relationship than we could ever imagine. Some of the sensitivity comes from the differences. Some come from the vulnerabilities or the transparency that I would like to have. By the way, God knows all about us. Okay, so we know that. The next person that knows all about us is our spouse. Our spouse normally knows more about us than our parents. Our parents know us coming up, but all of us, I'm sure, will agree, we didn't tell our parents everything. because if we told them everything, they would probably have dealt with us about that. And so we didn't tell them everything. And when we told them something, we probably didn't tell them all the truth of that thing. We kind of, you know, left out the part that made us look bad and gave them the part that made us look good. Or we gave them the part that made somebody else look bad and made us look good. So when you think about that, the spouse then now has this predicament of trying to find out about me. But guess what? They're only going to find out about me as I do what?
Tell it.
If I don't tell, guess what? They're not mind readers. I tell my wife all the time, honey, I'm not a mind reader. You know, she said, well, you know that. I said, when did you tell me that? Well, you know. Well, you should know. I should. Get my crystal ball out. Look into the future, you know. And, you know, coming on early, we had that discussion. I was like, look, if you don't tell me, I'm not reading between the lines. Now, sometimes I could. But other times, I'm like, look, if this is what you want me to know, then spell it out. Say it. I'm not good at reading between the lines. I am, but I didn't want to admit to it. I was. But anyway, so that's a difference. Here's another difference. Both are, or should be, growing and changing. Spiritually, intellectually, emotionally, psychologically. So now, if we're changing, are we going to be different toward each other? Yes. Is there going to be more sensitivity in marriage? Yes. Give you a good case in point. After we got saved, God called me to preach. I didn't surrender to preach. And as Carmen and I began to grow spiritually, she could see plain as day that I was called to preach. And so she would get on me. Isn't God calling you to preach? I'm like, no, maybe he's calling you to preach. Leave me alone. What was happening? She was growing and she could sense and she could see. I could see too. I just did like this. You know what I'm saying? I don't see. God says, yes, you do. Stop that. And so as you're growing, there's going to be some sensitivity as well to that. You're both coming from different backgrounds. My wife was raised around 15 children. I was raised around 4. I had no brother. I had all sisters. So what do you think that's going to do to me? How am I going to behave? Probably not as masculine as I should. I had 3, and 2 sisters were older than me, and 1 was younger. Now, when 2 older sisters left, I had a lot of femininity qualities in me. Now, when those 2 left and I became more masculine, started playing football, and now it's just me and my younger sister, 7 years younger than me, how do you think my younger sister turned out? She was more masculine. Matter of fact, she wanted to go on my dates with me, with my girlfriend. And all. She wanted to do everything I did. I said, you're a girl. I'm a guy. Well, I want to be a guy too. Said, no, you can't. So all those background issues are there. How you were reared, your value system that your parents gave you, that's going to be something. So if you're together with your spouse and your rearing is different, it's going to be sensitive because he or she may say, well, I wasn't raised that way. I tell my kids that all the time. They leave stuff on the floor. I said, pick it up. I wasn't raised that way. You're not going to be raised that way. Put that back where it came from. I wasn't raised that way. You're not going to be raised that way. You know, my wife the same way. Hey, look, pick that up. Yeah, we wasn't raised that way. And so you're rearing now. When you come with your spouse, there's going to have some things there. I'll throw in another variable here that you may not have thought about. If you were previously divorced and now you're remarried, something happened in that first relationship that caused the divorce. And if I don't settle that issue, what happened in the first relationship, guess what I'm going to do with that? I'm going to bring it into my next relationship. And either my issue or my spouse's issue is going to crop back up because it was never dealt with in the previous relationship. Now I get divorced and get remarried again. Guess what? Now I've got 2 relationship problems that's going to bring in. Now if I get 3 times, guess what? 3, 4, 5, you know, that's what happens. So those are all things that make marriage sensitive because if I do this, I may set the spouse of mine off. So when you look at this issue here, the sensitive setting. These things are going to affect us and it's going to make things a little difficult because of my background, because of my rearing, because of my standards, because of many, many different things. So When you look at this question, it says, these small choices may have more power to bless or hurt relationship than we could ever imagine. Now, what are some other things that make marriage sensitive besides things that I just mentioned? Well, yeah, I think that covers it all.
Not accepting each other for who you really are.
Amen. That's a big one. Now, if I don't accept my spouse for who they are, what does that do to my spouse?
Makes them feel like they're not worth.
Makes them feel like not worth. That's a good one. What else does it do to my spouse? Really?
I came from the different background between me and my husband. Just my I'm Filipino from the Philippines, but my parents never been divorced. I'm the oldest one. I have 6 brothers and 1 younger sister. And my dad actually, and my mom, she's a godly woman, she's a Christian, and she raised me well. And my dad, he was really very strict, and before he wasn't even saved, and it was just, but my dad, he teach me how to value raising kids, and we're not allowed to wake up like late. Every 4 o'clock we have to go in the morning and work. And that's how my dad teach me and my mom respect, but he never teach me Bible because from his, you know, regeneration, it was, everything was good. And my husband's parents was also never been divorced. But my husband and I, and my husband from Omaha, Nebraska, American, and it was just, from his background, it was just different from my background. But just because we both divorced, he was married before, I was married before, and we both have kids from previous marriage, and it was the hardest thing for me and him building where I have Stephen, and he have Sean under Stephen. So there's 3 boys right there. After we got married, we have Shane. So my husband and I, we working, and I was just a brand new Christian. I was just knew nothing, not much know the Bible. I was just got saved, and we met, and when we met, it was just, I don't show any godly examples, you know, but I,
yeah,
he showed me there's something inside of my heart for that. He said that I'm going, you know, he knows that this same reason Stephen from, he said that you're going to be a good wife and going to be a good mom because I see, you know. So it was just, you know, raising, and it was, they become so sensitive because we fight for from his ex and my ex. It goes back and forth just like it never ended.
Amen.
But thanks God that he allowed me to serve the Lord because he helped me to be shown to him how humble I am, being obedient and being, even though sometimes I'm, you know, I'm not doing it right, but I have to let him know that I made mistake and,
amen,
you know, ask for forgiveness. And it was just tough, Pastor. You know, it's,
amen,
not easy for me.
I believe it.
So, but just because, you know, I never give up on God, never stopped serving. So when I was raising Stephen and Shane and my husband stopped serving the Lord, we used to take our kids together to come to church every time the church opened. But he stopped and his kids stopped. So I told him that, you know, don't stop. And so his kid went back because I have his kid too, Stephen and Sean. When they were there, they're like a couple years apart. So, and he got nothing to do. He didn't want to serve the Lord, so the home part.
Amen.
The home part, so.
And that, just, that does make it difficult. It really does. It does. Look at what it says there again. Within the sensitive setting of marriage, these small choices made in life have more power to bless or hurt a relationship than we can ever imagine. So the differences are there. The sensitivities are there. We can either hurt or help a relationship based upon the choices that we make. Notice the next one. For all their seeming unimportance, small choices carry long-term consequences and ultimately can make the difference between success and being and building a love-filled marriage or failure. Small choices like my habits, my meekness, my affection, the food that I like, and things like that. These are all small choices, but it says it can make the difference between success and building a love-filled marriage or failure. So the conclusion of this first section is just getting our mind and our thoughts on our choices. Take care of the small choices that I make, because those small choices turn into big consequences. I give you a case in point. I hold that thought, sister. I'll get you in just a minute. I was doing some studies this morning, and I took an extra 10 minutes on my studies. Consequently, I had to get the kids dressed. So what did that do with the kids? 10 minutes late on the kids. Consequently, I left home late. And so consequently, I got to church late. And then what happened? A small choice of just taking extra 10 minutes here caused me to be 5 minutes late here. And it was a small choice, but that choice affected the rest of the scenario. And that's how subtle small choices can affect you in the long range. Now, all the way through, now I'm frustrated because now the kids, hurry up kids, because I took extra 10 minutes. Now I'm rushing them, hurry up, put that shoe on, get that Bible, get that. And so now, it's really my fault because a small choice led in something else. Stephanie?
Does that also include like our choice in words? Because words are so powerful, and when we say something small that we don't really, whether it be in anger or upsetness or whatever, our words that we choose can really hinder a person. And I think words stick with you sometimes more than actions do.
Yes, ma'am. We talked about that a little bit last week. Not only words that I say, but words that I don't say. You know, my wife would be, she'll be the first one to tell me, this is what I like to hear. What is she doing? She's schooling me. This is what I need to hear. This is what I long to hear. So when she schools me on that, I put that as a mental note, okay? The words that I want to say are this, this, and this, but those are not the words that she's going to respond to. So now there's that sensitivity in marriage. My words are no good. It's not that my words aren't any good. The words that I have chosen are with me. She's got some words that she responds to. So she's like, these are the words that I like to hear. And so what does she do? She gives me the ammunition to be able to fire these words back at her, because that's what she wants to hear. So not only words that I use, but words that I don't use sometimes can alter this thing too. You know, and again, we talked about words last week. You got to be very, very careful with words that you choose, because you can't take them back. But then again, those words that somebody wants to hear, keep that in mind as well. Amen. So that whole section there is dealing with the choices. Let's go to the top of page 6 now, on the next page. Top of page 6. And now, because we are making these choices, and because marriage is all about choices, what produces our choices? Brother Mark, I know Brother Mark likes hockey. Brother Mark, why do you like hockey of all sports?
Well, my upbringing, I got on skates. I was just talking to Michelle about that today. I don't remember. She remembers the memory of us going skating out in Oklahoma City, and it just brought back to memories. I skated ever since I remember, and I played hockey as a young age. And I live vicariously through those players because I wanted to be a professional hockey player. I just see, oh man, I want to be down there with those guys. So it's just in me. It's just in me. It's my upbringing. We played hockey in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. In Michigan, a lot of the neighborhoods, there's usually one house that has that really nice, well manicured ice rink in their own backyard, and that's what I did to keep out of trouble.
Now, Mark likes hockey. I, on the other hand, like football and basketball for the same reasons he likes hockey. I saw the Chicago Bears all the time. I saw Chicago Bulls all the time. We'd go out in the backyard and play football. You know, we get out there, you know, and run and all those things. And so, man, I love football and I love basketball. Now, with that, it says, what produces your choices? And they're produced by our beliefs. There's something that's instilled in us that enables us to make choices, whether they're good choices or bad choices. And normally, that which is in us is that which we're exposed to, which we see, which we're a part of, which we do. Notice A, it says, they are produced by your beliefs. Now notice this, our belief system, or what you believe in, and notice this, not the situations in life, produce our actions. Now let's just stop right there. Our belief system and not the situations in life produce our actions. So what's in my heart is going to produce my action, not what you do. Y'all got that? So it's not what people do. It's not the situation. It's what's really in me that makes me do what I do. Okay? I'm not a litter bug. I don't like throwing trash. I'll pick trash up in a heartbeat. I'll pick up somebody else's trash in a heartbeat. Why? It's in me. So it matters not who threw it down. My action is always going to be the same because it's in me. I'm going to pick it up. I'm sure many of you see me pick this up, think that I'll pick this up because it's in me. So our belief system, not situations in life, produce our actions. Notice that it goes on. And our reactions. So not only our actions, not only what I do, but how I react to what others do to me. Okay? I'm not a fighter by nature. I wasn't raised with 9 brothers and 6 sisters like my wife. I didn't have to fight. I didn't have brothers. It was just sisters, you know, and I could outrun my sister. I wasn't raised a fighter. So because I wasn't raised a fighter, it's not in me to fight. I'm not a fighter. I'm more of a peacemaker. Let's just make peace. Let's compromise. Let's do something. I don't want to fight. I don't want to fuss. I don't want to argue. I don't want any resistance. Let's just get along. Now, why do I do that? The situation didn't dictate that. I acted or reacted because that's what's in me. Some folks are just a fighter by nature. The guy that led me to the Lord, he's a fighter by nature. You say it's black, you say it's white. You say it's soft, he'll say it's hard. You know, you say it's a zebra, he'll say it's an elephant. He just wants to fight. There's some people like that. So now notice this. Our belief system, not the situations in life, produce our actions and reactions. We do what we do out of our beliefs. I'm going to give you a couple scenarios. Why do I go to church? Because that's what I believe. Why do I have morals or morality about myself? Because that's what I believe. Why do I have the character do I have? Because of what I believe. Why is my conduct the way it is? Because of what I believe. Why do I do this or that? Because of what I believe. That's scary, isn't it? Because I am going to do, I don't care what it is, I'm going to do what I do because of what I believe. That's why you can have somebody go out and shoot somebody and say, nothing wrong, because I believe it's right to shoot you. And they don't have a problem with that. Okay? Everybody follow me on that first sentence. Now notice the next part. We build our own belief system, our own inner guide to our own choices in life. Now that's scary too. So in other words, you're building right now how you're going to react to things. You're building right now how you're going to act on things. Your actions and your reactions, you're building that up. And it's either going to be built on this, Word of God, or something else. That's scary. That is scary. Why do you think our nation just passed a law that says same-sex marriage is okay? Because that's their belief system. It's not on the Bible. The Bible doesn't change. The Bible says what it says. It's on the changing sands of society. And that's why they say, well, we don't longer believe that it's just one man and one woman. We believe it can be 2 men and 2 ladies as well because they can love each other just the same way. Well, they might be able to love each other, but not God's way. Neither can they reproduce. Like God said, be fruitful and multiply. So that's one thing that you look at. So put the statement in your mind. I believe and so I do or do not. I believe and so I do or do not. I believed I was going to hell, and so I got saved. I believed that I was a sinner and in need of judgment from God, and I got saved. I do or do not based upon what I believe. There are people walking around here that do not believe that they're sinners, do not believe they're going to hell. They do not believe that God would toss them into a pit called hell. Before I got the gospel, I didn't think God would throw me into hell. I thought God is love, for God so loved the world. And so when I get to heaven, God would look at me and say, I couldn't possibly put this darling young man in hell. And I'll make a deal with God. You know, God, I messed up a few areas here and here and here, but you know I'm all right. I believe that. And so I didn't get saved. When I got the gospel message and God arrested my soul by the Holy Spirit, guess what? I got saved. Because I believe now that I was going to go to hell. So when you look at this, I believe and so I do or do not. By the way, how many of you have run a red light? Why'd you run the red light?
We weren't paying attention.
Amen. Do we know it's not right? We know it's not right to run. My wife said rushing. I think the real reason why we run the red light, we don't believe we're gonna get caught. One of the reasons why we go over the speed limit, we don't believe we're gonna get caught. If we believe we get caught, we thought, what do you do when you see a cop? You slow down, don't you? Because you believe you might get caught. You see that radar, you see him out there pointing that gun? And you believe I'm gonna get caught. But if you don't see him around, I don't believe I'm gonna get caught, so I run it. So again, our belief system is based upon, our actions are based upon what we believe. If I believe it, I'll do it or I won't do it. If I believe I'm gonna get caught, I'm not gonna do it. If I believe I'm gonna get caught, I'm not gonna do that. And so keep that in mind, because that is gonna be the thought process as we go down here. I believe and so I do, or do not. The California road, you go through there, you don't believe you're gonna get caught. So you say, well, I slowed down. One thing I learned, I had to go through the traffic class one day. And the guy said, the cop said, you know, there's a distance behind the stop sign that you have to stop. And he said, I forget how much of a distance it was, but whatever he said, I said, so you're trying to tell me if a car's in front of me and he stops and I stop, I don't have to roll up to the stop line and stop again? He said, no, if you're within a certain length, you do have to wait till the other traffic goes, but you don't have to pull up and stop. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I'm gonna try that. Okay, brother, thank you. I said, and I'm like, look, the cop told me this, it's in the book. And so I can get away with that. Now, let me misjudge it. He said, well, yeah, but you were 1 inch over the line, so my word against his, amen. Give you something here. So read that again. Our belief system, not the situations in life, produce our actions and reactions. We do what we do out of our beliefs. We build our own belief system, our own inner guide to our own choices. In other words, we put within our heart that which is going to dictate what we do. Y'all follow me with that? Okay, question number one. We must have a biblical belief system which provides God's direction for our lives. Then we will have joy, purpose, unity, and a strong sense of His meaning for our lives. In other words, I've got to know what God says for my life to have what God wants me to have. The purpose, the unity, the strong sense of His meaning for my life. So choosing God's word, choosing God's will, it's going to be what's best for my life and my marriage. Okay, just like Shane had to go and take a driving test. They wanted to test him on what he knew about the rules of the road. Why? So that he doesn't endanger himself, and so he doesn't endanger you. Okay, why does God want us to have His word? So we don't endanger ourselves, as we don't endanger other people. Think about the Ten Commandments. Only the first four deal with God. Not having any gods before me, not making any graven images, the Sabbath day, and taking the Lord's name in vain. Those four deal with God. The rest deal with us. Honor your father and your mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witnesses. Thou shalt not covet. All the rest of those deal with you. If I break those, that means I'm hurting you. And so when it comes to this, our belief system is going to provide us with the joy, the purpose, the unity, and a strong sense of meaning for our life. By the way, what is the Christian's goal? The Christian's goal is basically to submit to God's will. I beseech you, therefore, brother, by the mercy of God, you present your body as a living sacrifice. How? Holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? Mind is going to go here, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. So that is our goal and our design, and our desire is to make sure our lives are meaningful by the will of God. Now, our memory verse is going to be Proverbs 4:23. Let's go over there. Proverbs 4:23 for next week. Proverbs 4:23, and it's going to be our meditation. Many of you might know this one already. And again, what's the goal here? Our choices. What's driving our choices? What we believe. Proverbs 4:23 says this, keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the what? The issues of life. So in other words, what the Bible is saying here, that we've got to protect our heart or guard our heart or put a garrison around it, because that is what's going to dictate how we act and how we react to everything. And so I've got to make sure I protect it and not let certain things in there, because if I let that thing in there, it may cause me to act or react in a way that's not pleasing to God. And so keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, number three on your sheet, notice what it says here. We must build an inner heart treasure of truth that guards our choices in daily life. We're going to look at next week Matthew 12, 33 through 35, because what Jesus says basically in that verse is we're going to do what our heart dictates. In a nutshell, he says that we're going to do what our heart dictates. Now that's scary. That's scary. I don't care how you slice it. That's scary. Because if my heart is wrong, I'm going to do wrong. Yes, ma'am?
The scary thing is you can believe that you're going to react a certain way to certain situations, like raising children. Mm-hmm. And then God gives you children, and it's like, wow. Just listening, it's like you got to believe you're a sinner too, because, you know, to keep that balance in there. It's like, I believe I'm going to do this. But like the way my parents raised us, I was like, I'll never do this, and I'll never do that. And, oh.
Amen.
It was one scary thing, but it taught me I needed to get a hold of God, not to react the way my parents reacted.
Amen. And Mr. Dawson brings up a good point. When it comes to child rearing, we can have our own thought process, our own belief system of how we're going to do it. But if it's not based on the Word of God, oftentimes it's going to fail, it's going to fall through, it's not going to be productive, it's not going to do what it's intended to do. Even when we've got the Word of God, we still have to be consistent in doing what God says to do to get the desired results. So keep that in mind. I believe, and so I do or do not. And Proverbs 4:23 is going to be a very, very good verse of scripture for us to meditate on. And we'll try and finish this out next week, and then we'll let you take the rest of that with you to figure out the rest of it. Again, keeping this in mind, marriage is made up of choices, as is all life. Now, the choices that I make are going to be based upon what I believe. I believe, and so I'm going to do something or not do something, and the belief system has got to be based on what God says, or I'm going to find myself in trouble in having to pay the piper, so to speak. Amen. All right, so Proverbs 4:23, our memory verse for next week. And we'll try to make sure we finish this out. Amen. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the pleasure of being in your house, Lord. And thank you for the sensitive setting of marriage, Lord, how it can keep us humble and keep us doing what we ought to do when it comes to you. Help us, Lord, now to make sure that we're applying the basic Word of God to our lives, that we can truly have our belief system, how we choose to react or to act based upon the Word of God. Lord, we believe, and so we do or do not. And help us to really meditate upon this verse this week in keeping, protecting our heart where the Word of God resides at. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Bless the refreshments next door and time in our morning service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Guys, make sure you say hello to Miss Nicole. Good to have her back with us this week.
How are you?
Good. It's so good to see you.
Well, thank you.
I had to leave early last night.
They called you.
That's down there. At the small.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm the manager over there.
You
so
have the paper? Okay,
one
can you get the
in.
Paper down there?
Yeah.
I have to take over.
Wow, is it a big salon?
No, it's not very big.
Is there like a French office?
We're off Brooklyn. We have class cutters, smart styles, some super cuts and blends. We have mirror maxes. We have Style America. We have a bunch of them. The corporation owns over 15,000.
How many cash dollars do you have here? I have five.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy, doesn't
it? Uh-huh. And then my kids.
My kids keep me busy in my church.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
How old are
they? Six and seven.
Well, I know your father would be excited.
In class right now.
I know he'll be excited about that.
Yeah, so. We'll party.